Let me just put into my own words what I read to you a minute ago. The Macedonians had been generous in their giving. In spite of the afflictions that they were going through and in spite of the deep poverty that they were living in, they collected a generous offering that they'd asked the Apostle Paul to deliver. And in this part of 2 Corinthians, Paul was encouraging the church at Corinth to do the same thing. And notice what he said in verse 7. He says, "You abound in faith. You abound in utterance and in sharing the gospel. You abound in knowledge of learning more and more about God. You abound in diligence, being diligent about your service to God. You abound in your love toward us," toward Paul and those that traveled with him. He said, "I want you to abound in the grace of giving as well." And he says in verse 8, and verse 8 is my text verse tonight, "I spake not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others." He says, "I'm using the examples of others, and I wouldn't say what I'm going to say, except I've been so much encouraged by their generosity, their giving in spite of the poverty that they live in. I want you to follow their example." And notice what he says, "and to prove the sincerity of your love." To test the sincerity of your love. He said to the Corinthians, "You say you love God. I believe you do. You say you love his church. I believe you do. You say you love us, his ministers. I believe you do. Now I want you to take this opportunity as we gather up this offering for those in need," and most of it was going back to Jerusalem, But I want to see how sincere you are in your love. Now, that word sincere, if you go to the dictionary today and you look it up, it means not feigned or affected. In other words, not made up. If you are sincere, you are true, you present no false appearance, you're not hypocritical, you're honest, you're pure, you're unadulterated. But let me just tell you a little bit more about that word sincere. If you look at it in the Greek, it comes from two words. The word sin doesn't mean what we think about when we hear the word sin. The word sin, that is one of the two words that forms the word sincere, actually means without. And the word sincere means wax. So the word sincere means without wax. You see, the word sincere is a sculpturing term. When a sculptor would take a stone and carve a statue or something else out of that stone, and they made a mistake, instead of starting over, they would, if the mistake was small enough, they'd take a little wax and fill in the mistake that they made. And once the wax hardened, nobody could tell the difference until the heat came. Until it got hot. Now, I don't need to tell you tonight what happens when wax gets hot. It melts. And the defect that it covered up is made known in the statue. If the sculptor had used wax to cover it up, the imperfections show up. And so, I'll tell you tonight, I want to be sincere. I want to be without wax. I learned a long time ago that I can't fool anybody. I learned a long time ago that I can't pretend and get by with it. I learned a long time ago that it was just better for me to just be the person that God made me to be with all my imperfections rather than cover them up. On a Thursday night, Louie called me Reverend. And I said, "Louis, I'm not a reverend. Don't call me reverend. Call me pastor. Call me Brother Daryl. Call me preacher. But please don't call me reverend." And so, again, in my relationship with you as your pastor, I want to be without wax. I want to be able to say, "Hey, what you see is what you get. There's nothing covered up." I heard of a preacher one time that was losing his hair, and he was a little vain. And he didn't want to admit that he was getting old. And so he got some coloring, some dye, and dyed the bald spots in his head the same color that his hair was. And it was okay until one summer morning when the air conditioner went out. And as he preached, he began to sweat, sort of like Adam does when he preaches. He began to sweat, and that coloring that he had on his head began to run. And there were streaks coming down his face and streaks coming down his head. And he'd wipe his hand like that, and he'd see the dye, and he says, "I have to confess, I'm going bald. I tried to cover it up, but I'm not going to do it anymore. What you see is what you're going to get." And so tonight, I want to talk about what it means to be sincere. I want to mention several areas where the Bible commands us, encourages us, however you want to say it, to be sincere or without wax, to be transparent, so to speak, to be what you are in that particular thing. And so let me quickly get to it. I have just a little bit of time, but let me quickly get to it. The first one is that we need to be sincere in our love for Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." I would encourage you tonight, love Jesus. Don't fake it. Don't put wax where there's holes missing. You just love Jesus with all you are. Just love him. That's why the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Not part of it. Not loving God with part of your heart and filling in the rest of it with wax. But loving God and loving Jesus with all your heart. And with all thy soul. Again, not just part of it, but all of it. Don't fill part of it in with wax. When the heat comes, it's going to run. All your soul. And with all thy mind. All of it. Not just part of your mind, but all of it. You know, it's easy to love Jesus when everything's going good. It's easy to love Jesus when it's the cool of the day, so to speak. But when the hardships come, and when the trials come, and when the heartaches come, if we have any wax in our love for Christ and our love for God, it's going to melt. And people are going to see. And so I say tonight, be sincere in your love for Christ. Be sincere in your love for God. Do it with all your heart. Let there be no part of it that's insincere. Let there be no part of it that's filled with wax. Number two, serve God in sincerity. Going back to the book that we were in this morning, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Don't fake it. Don't pretend. Don't fill in the spots with wax. Serve God with all you've got. Give him your best. Give him your all. Give him true service. I asked a couple people this morning, "How you doing?" You know, most people, when you ask them that question, they say, "Well, I'm doing fine." I had two people tell me this morning, "I'm doing terrible. Preacher, this is one of the worst days I've had in my whole life." And these were older people. I mean, so, you know, if this is one of the worst days in their whole life, you got to know it was a bad day. I said to both of them, I said, "What's going on? Why is it such a terrible day?" They said, "Oh, I don't have time to tell you. It's just, believe me, it's a bad." I said, "Well, why are you here?" They said, "Well, I can hurt at home or I can hurt here. I just figure I might as well hurt here." I said, "Praise God. That'd be a good illustration for my message tonight. Let's serve God. I mean, we can hurt here just as much as we can hurt at home. You can sleep here just as much as you sleep at home. I mean, there's no difference. Just come. Serve him. Serve him. Be sincere in your service for him." Number three, hold doctrine sincerely. Titus 2:7. "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." In other words, what Paul is saying, look, if you hold a doctrine, don't fake it. Don't just say that you believe in it. Really believe in it. Let me give you an example. I believe in the doctrine of hell. I believe that there is a literal place that you can describe as a bottomless pit, and that there's a fire that never goes out. It's a place of darkness where the worm dieth not. that was prepared for Satan that God is going to send those that reject Christ to, and there's not going to be a second chance to come out of that place. Once you go to hell, you're going to spend eternity there apart from God. And by the way, that's the worst part about hell. It's not the fire, it's not the darkness, it's not having no firm foundation to stand on, it's not the worm. The worst part about hell is being separated from the one that made you. Is being separated from Almighty God. That's the worst part about hell. Now listen, to sincerely believe that doctrine, you got to believe it not just because your mom and dad believed it, not just because grandpa and grandma believed it, not just because the preacher believed it, not just because some Bible scholar believes it. You need to get into this book. You need to study this book. You need to get it fixed firmly in your mind that there is a hell, and everybody that rejects Christ is going to hell and going to spend eternity there. Don't fill in any spots with wax. Don't be insincere in your belief. There's too many Christians that give up too soon on people that are going to hell because they don't really believe in it. And if we really believed in it, we wouldn't worry about offending people. We wouldn't worry about people taking offense I never took offense at my grandmother when she shook her old bony finger in my face and told me to my face that I was going to hell unless I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And there may be people that get a little upset with you, and there may be people that get a little mad at you, but let them get upset. Let them get mad. Better to tell them about the gospel and about Jesus Christ and know that you've done your part to keep them out of hell. Amen. Number four, treat the word of God with sincerity. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we Christ. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it was inspired. I believe that God breathed and told men what to write as they wrote down the Word of God. I believe the King James 1611 is the preserved Word of God. I believe that this book that I hold in my hand tonight is the Bible that God wants me to have in English for today. That's what I believe. And there's no wax. I mean, I believe that from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. There's no places that I filled in because I don't believe that. I believe it entirely. That's why I don't believe in the Bible of the Month Club. I don't go around looking for a better Bible. I got the one that God wants me to have. And when the heat comes, I'm not going to change. Nothing's going to melt. I have people that tell me all the time, hey, look, don't be so pig-headed about this. Why don't you compromise a little bit? I mean, and I've had people point to different Bible teachers and different Bible scholars and different Bible colleges and say, hey, all those have come to the conclusion that there's errors in the King James Bible and you can get a better Bible and there's a better Bible available. Sorry, I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to be straight-laced. If you want a preacher that doesn't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, get somebody else, because I'm not going to change. And if they, again, you can call me pig-headed and you can call me stubborn, but here's my thought on it. When you start moving the line, where do you stop moving it? I mean, yeah, people say, well, if they took out the these and the thous, I could understand it better. Come on, how stupid do you think I am? These and thous keep you from understanding the Word of God? Where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? Is it okay to take out the word virgin? Is it okay to take out the word blood? Is it okay to take stuff out that people are taking out today? Like that, you know, take out the male reference to God? Is it okay to do that? Where do you draw the line? I don't know where to draw the line, so I'm not going to draw a line. I mean, it's either this or it's nothing. I'm going to, and again, those of you that have been around long enough, and I don't mean to offend anybody tonight if you have a different Bible, but I'm just telling you where I am. There's no wax. There's nothing that's going to melt when the heat comes. I believe that this Bible, the King James 1611, is the Word of God that He wants me to have for today. I believe every word, every punctuation mark was put there by God, and man just needs to leave it alone. leave it alone. Number five, we ought to live a manner of life that's sincere. 2 Corinthians 1:12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, our manner of life in this world. We need to live our life honestly. We need to live our life in truth. We need to live our life without wax. We need to live our life sincerely. Don't put on airs. Don't try to impress somebody. Most of us can't do it. Look, we're all God's kids. We're all at a different place of growth. We're all at a different place on our spiritual journey, like we talked about this morning. Just because somebody's not at the same place we are doesn't mean they're any less in the eyes of God. God loves all his children. God wants all his children to grow. Look, you just keep going. You just get up and go like we talked about this morning. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You depend on the word of God. You depend on the promises that God made. And just live your life a life of sincerity. And then number six, we need to be sincere as we work on sin in our life. 1 Corinthians 5:8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the Old Testament, leaven represents sin. They had the Passover, and then the week after the fat Passover, they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they left the leaven out to represent getting sin out of their life. After they got saved, the Passover lamb, the Passover, represents salvation. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Angie and Dominique sang about it tonight. The blood that washes us, the blood that cleanses us, the blood that buys our salvation. So the Passover lamb and the blood of the Passover lamb. And then they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, representing us as Christians getting the sin out of our life. And so the Apostle Paul says, do it with sincerity. Don't fake it. Don't fill any spots with wax. If you're going to work on getting rid of sin in your life, get rid of it. Get rid of it. I have to laugh at people sometimes say, well, I'm on a diet. I have to laugh at myself sometimes when I say I'm on a diet. Chaz was talking to me about this morning, says, hey, my aunt makes a mean banana pudding. I'm working on her. I know you like it. I'm working on her to make you some. And I started to say, well, Chaz, I'm on a diet, but I'll eat banana pudding on my diet. But I didn't, because I knew that would be insincere. So I told him, I said, well, Frida hadn't made me any lately, so you get your aunt to make us some. Tell her to make it for you. She'd be more likely to make it for you than she will for me. And then you can bring it to church, and we'll go back to the kitchen, and we'll eat the whole thing. Now, some people go on a diet like they work on sin in their life. They said, oh yeah, we'll give up some things, but other things we won't. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is, don't work that way. If you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, then you need to be sincere in getting sin out of your life and keeping it out. Because when the heat comes, the places that we put wax, the places we put wax in our love for Christ, in our service for Christ, doctrinal beliefs, in our love for the Bible, in our manner of life, and in our leaving sin, when the heat comes, the wax is going to melt. People are going to see all the imperfections. So we just need to do it. We need to be sincere. We need to do it without wax. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what we've experienced in this place tonight. The singing and the testimonies, the special music, Uncle Bob's report and testimony, and then, Father, from your word. And so I pray you speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Something's probably touched every person here. And I pray that we would listen as you've spoken to us through that, and that if we need to respond, we would respond tonight. What a shame it would be to come to this place tonight, experience all that we've experienced, be convicted by the Holy Spirit about something, and then leave without doing anything about it. And so I pray, again, Holy Spirit, if you've spoken to somebody, that they would respond, they would be not just hearers of the word, but doers only, and respond in a way that you want them to tonight. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, help them to see their sin Help them to understand there's a penalty for that sin. And that's what Jesus died for, as Uncle Bob talked about a minute ago when he went to the cross. Took all of our sins, paid the price. And he's the only one that has the power and the authority to forgive us from that sin, to make us right with God. And if there's just one here tonight that hasn't done that, I pray they do it during this time of invitation. Bless the invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.